Well, Father, it is so good to be here this morning with brothers and sisters. In the quietness of the morning, we just pray that our souls will be quiet before you, our inner man will be quiet before you as we learn about the body you've given to us, that you've created and made and will redeem someday for eternity in a new resurrected body. And just pray that the next few weeks, if it's your will, we are able to meet that many times, that we will have a good understanding of the body and its purposes and how we can use it to glorify you. Holy Spirit, we just pray you'd be present with us today. We do not want to attempt anything without knowing that you will lead us into all the truth. We pray that would happen in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is soul care class, and we're going to be talking about the body, interestingly enough. So why have a series like this? One reason would be we've spent years, literally, talking about the soul and the inner man, but we haven't spent much time, if any, really talking about the body. So that's one reason to do that. Secondly, the scriptures have a lot to say about our body and about where it came from, where it's going, proper use of the body, but also say that it's very applicable to counseling and to soul care. When you speak of the body, it's very interrelated with our inner man, so it's good to know what the scriptures teach on that. Fourthly, another reason why I'm doing this is probably several months back, my son-in-law sent me a series on the stewardship of the body by a guy named Albert Martin. I don't know if anybody, that rings a bell for anybody, but Albert Martin wrote Forgotten Fear, one of the books we carry in the Resource Center. He's a real old-fashioned, I think he's 90, still alive, but this was a 15-year-old sermon series. So I listened to it, and I thought it was very good. And it's honestly hard to find just good material out there, whether sermons or Bible studies, or just hard to find a really good study on the body. So I want to give a lot of credit for some of what I'm going to be teaching on as a result of listening to that sermon series. I've borrowed some of that, so I want to give appropriate credit to Albert Martin, who I respect as a good old time preacher. I also listened to a sermon by Greg Gifford and have compiled some other information, but honestly the very best source is the scriptures, and just it's been a really rich time just going through the scriptures and getting a list of looking at all of the references to the body. There's 142 references to the body in the New Testament in 120 verses. Oftentimes that refers to our physical body, sometimes it refers to like the body of Christ. But just looking at all those references and then pulling from that some material for this lesson. So I also just have a personal curiosity about it. And as an elder for years, it's I've had some curiosity about that. Like how do you shepherd? Where do you exhort people? Where do you correct people? Where do you encourage people? How do you do that in regards to our physical body? So this has been helpful. Wish I would have done this years ago. It might have helped me down through the years. So what are the areas of concern, the areas of categories that we're going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about exercise, sleep, food, drink, medicines, stress, drugs, things like that, but not at first, if that makes sense. But that's some of the categories of the stewardship of the body that we're talking about. I think when you use the word stewardship, it implies that somebody else has entrusted something to you, and that is the case. The Lord has given you a body, He's created a body, and you are to steward that. So I want to be careful about the right use of the word stewardship. You've been entrusted with the stewardship of your body. So that's what we're going to be focusing on. A couple of thoughts before we get into it, and these are just some general thoughts to keep in mind over the next few weeks. I'm thinking this might be a three-week series. If you have some questions, it might go longer than that. And by the way, I do want you to, if you have some questions that aren't getting addressed, feel free to share those with me and give me some time to think about them. So I'm just thinking out loud. That could be helpful too. So what I'm not interested in doing is driving you to a cult of body worship. which I think is so common in our country, in our culture. I think of Romans 12, 2, where it talks about don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. You're going to get, if you conform to the world's view on the body, you're going to get pressed into idolatry of the body at some point. I mean, it's everywhere, right? It's in magazines, it's in movies, it's just, it's rampant. And in fitness centers, which can be used for good, but oftentimes they're just for glorification of the body. I'm not wanting to drive anybody in that direction. Neither am I wanting to have anybody who needs to give more stewardship of their body. I don't want you to be indifferent about that. So if you can go off either side of the fence. We'll get to that a little bit later. But I definitely don't want to make this about having sculpted, fit bodies in the world's standard. So it's possible to do great stewardship of your body and still be overweight somewhat, you know? So we'll get into that a little bit later. And that kind of brings up another thing. I do not want to be a legalistic person in this area. I'm very determined not to be. I'm determined that these teachings and this scripture will inform you. You'll have a biblically informed conscience, and then it's up to you. That's the nice thing about being a teacher. I'm not going to lay down, you ought to do this, you ought to do that. Let the Holy Spirit do that work. So I've kind of gotten into a little bit, but really want to just be careful about going off either side of the mountain. If you're indifferent or neglectful in the stewardship of your body, I don't want you to go over to the other side where you're, that's how you identify, is how your body's doing. So just a little bit of a heads up. So that's kind of an introduction to kind of what we're going to be doing. So if you have an outline, a lesson outline, we'll kind of get going on that. Got some questions to start out with. But my goal in this, the objective, is to really develop a sound theology of the body, and then to live and practice a life that reflects that truth and those realities from Scripture. So question number one, and this is kind of a survey a little bit. Does God's Word have anything to say about our body, and if so, what? Just a few responses would be great. When you think about your body and what God's Word says about it, what comes to your mind?
Well, King David said that God knitted him together in his mother's womb, so God made our body.
Yeah. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. So excellent, Benjamin, that God knits you together in your mother's womb and covers you. Good.
Body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We'll be getting into that, 1 Corinthians 6.
We probably go to Genesis 2:7 when God said that our body made from the dust of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. The origin of our body, who created it, where it came from, in Genesis.
Hey, did you push the record?
Yes, it's recording.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, thank you.
Yeah.
The body's important because Christ raised, he was raised in a bodily form.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not of no consequence.
Yeah. The resurrection, I think that's one of the things that came out of this for me more than anything, is just the power of the resurrection, the need for the resurrection. If we don't include the resurrection in our gospel presentation, we're missing the completeness of the gospel. Because our body was created to be permanent and eternal, and it's going to be in a new form. It has to be resurrected in order to do that. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but we will have a new body. Eric?
1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, rather train yourself for godliness, while bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come.
A lot to say right there. And we're going to dig pretty deep into that text at some point and flesh that out. Somebody over here was going to, maybe not, okay.
Each one of us are a part of the body of Christ, which is really interesting, I mean, in the God story gives that we can offer to certain.
Yeah, it's interesting how that is, body is used of the body of Christ, the body of Christ.
I think of 1 Corinthians 6, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord.
So 1 Corinthians 6, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And so that is really interesting. You think about your body, you think about what we put into it. But in this, in that context, and he goes ahead and says, glorify the God in your body. In that context, glorifying God in your body is abstaining from sexual immorality, which is more than just adultery and fornication, if you want to look at that word. And we will look at that later on.
It's supposed to be a living sacrifice and love the Lord with our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Exactly. The two great commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And then Romans 12, you referenced the living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1. Because of everything in the first 11 chapters, therefore, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. We've kind of already covered a lot of what we're going to cover, just from what you guys have answered here. So the second question, how is stewardship of one's body generally addressed in the local church? I don't know if that's a specific enough question, but is it addressed? Is it talked about?
I think there might be an element of modesty addressed in the local church, adorning yourself modestly,
yeah.
Your external appearance.
That gets talked about. Why is that, that it's not talked about very much? And I don't think it is. I'm not talking about just our church. I just think churches in general. I think our church would be kind of this way as well.
It's a sticking point a lot of times for sources of idolatry. And it's hard to talk about and if it doesn't rub people the right way.
Sensitive,
yeah. It's a sensitive subject, right? I think it is. It can be very sensitive.
Maybe it's an overreaction or overcorrection from the world's just obsession with the body versus we don't want to. Well, we're going to be spiritual. Focus on the soul and the heart.
I think that's really that play as well. And in fairness, in Scripture, in the First Corinthian or First Timothy Scripture that Eric brought up, it does talk about the importance, the superior importance of soul care to body care, but it doesn't negate or devalue the care of the body, though. So yeah, I think that's partly in play as well.
I think in some sense you're scared of being seen as legalistic in some of these issues.
Yeah.
Exercise and medicines and vaccines. And
yep. Yeah, there's a carefulness to not be legalistic, and I think that's a good carefulness. Uh-huh. So this isn't in here, and I wasn't planning on asking this question, but have any of you in here ever talked to somebody about the stewardship of their body? Or have you ever been talked to about stewardship of your body by somebody? I see some heads shaking, so it's good. It should be a pretty private thing. So I think it's okay to talk about it because God's Word talks about it. And so this could be some freedom for us to have these kinds of conversations. At the very end of your lesson, there are some exhortations. And one of them is, let us not inwardly or verbally judge one another by appearance, but let us seek to be open and honest with one another in this area. Let us seek to be faithful and judicious and gracious in admonishing one another in this area and prioritize and put on love. So that's at the end, but maybe we should at least acknowledge that's there. And I do think that it's good that you have someone you can talk to about things like that. So hopefully this class will encourage that to happen. We've talked a little bit about this question number 3. How does the Word value the inner man or the soul in comparison to the outer man, the body?
A verse that just came to my mind is in 2 Corinthians 4, where it says, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man
mm-hmm.
is being renewed day by day.
Yeah, there's an emphasis put on the need for the care of your soul, but the body's still cared for as well. I think the First Timothy passage, exercise yourself in godliness, which has rewards for now and for eternity. Bodily exercise has some profit. And by the way, I think that bodily exercise there might have to do with like Olympic training, gymnastic type terms, or gymnasium type term, but we'll get to that at some point. Do you have a biblically informed theology of the body? And I would just say the indicatives, which are statements of truth from Scripture. And have you learned and implemented the commands of Scripture related to the stewardship of the body, or the imperatives, which are the, these are what things you should do? So I don't know if you need to answer that, if anyone wants to volunteer that, but I guess where I'm going here, have you thought about that? And is that a part of your life? I would even go so far as to say, do you plan for care of your body like you plan for care of your soul? Like most of you probably care for your soul by reading Scripture daily, by praying, by meditating. Do you also have a plan, care plan for your body as well? And I would say that you should. You should think about what I eat, what I drink, things that I keep out of my body, things I put into it. So you should have some kind of well thought out plan in that area. And should you include a half an hour of exercise a day on your body? I think you probably should, at least some. It's not non-spiritual to ignore exercise. It is godly to exercise. I'm gonna really put that out there. It's okay. You don't have to feel guilty about, oh, am I taking too much care of me here? Am I too me-centered? I don't think so, if it's reasonable. So I think that's just something to keep in mind, that we can go the other way. The world says you need to be fit and trim and all that good kind of stuff, but can we go the other way and neglect it and ignore it? I think we can.
John, I think maybe one of the reasons we don't focus is because I think we have this fatalistic idea, well, the body's going to die, it's wasting away, I'm growing old, I can't, I'm going to get a new body, so why waste time on this one, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, this is a question for the future maybe, but does how we take care of our body now reflect the body we will have later? Like, will there be consequences of, I mean, we're told we're going to get a new body, but on the other hand, we're supposed to take care of the one we have. I don't know, just a thought.
This will get addressed in the study here, because why do we want to keep and well taken care of?
If we're going to get a new one anyway, why take care of this one?
Yeah.
Right? That's, I think, what most people thought.
Okay,
right.
Hang on,
okay.
And we'll get to that one.
I would say, like, for me, I never gave any thought to it till relatively recently, and it wasn't like I just didn't think about it. I focused on the spiritual. It wasn't like a fatalistic idea or anything. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Just never even put much thought into it whatsoever. So I think that happens a lot. People aren't intentionally trying to neglect it. They just don't think about it.
Yeah. I think it's out of ignorance or out of just having really just don't know.
Yeah.
I don't mean ignorant by being stupid or anything like that.
Right.
I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Very intelligent people can be that, and even godly people.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, I have a body, but when I pass away, I got a new body. I won't have one eye. I will have two eyes. I have no sin. I won't have ways. My heavenly body is perfect. on what God has given me. So
I think we're all looking forward to that, and as you get older, even more.
Yeah.
And earlier, Judy brought up the Second Corinthians passage about our outward man's wasting away. Well, there's some of you in here that understand that more than others. But, you know, and why work on keeping a body that's wasting away? We're going to get to that. And Albert Martin in his sermon talked about, you know, he has a verse, I think it's Revelation 14, 13, that his retirement verse is that verse which talks about, and they rested from their labors. Like, you just, there's time to rest from your labors, but while you're here, you push clear through to the end and you maintain your body as much as is possible. It's going downhill, but you maintain as much as possible for fruitfulness, for fruitful labor. We'll get to that. Philippians 1 and John 15, other passages on fruitfulness.
I'm just thinking, John, I guess I have to confess that I probably am more, I don't realize that I am focused on my physical health, body, but, you know, going through the summer of raising a garden and putting it all away so we can get healthy and the exercise you get from that, and it's just, you know, I mean, you make appointments for your yearly, I mean, it's just something you do, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, do I really, am I focused that much on my spiritual growth and health? Not that I'm focused on my physical, it's just what I do.
Yeah.
You know? It's just living, it's just part of living. So maybe I need to think about that.
Well, probably all of us.
Stewardship, I mean, stewardship that he gave to your body, you want to take care of what you've got.
Yeah, I would say there's a really high correlation between the self-control that's necessary for the right care of your body and also the self-control necessary for the fruits of the Spirit and just your soul prospering. So I think there's an indication that can, you can see it as well on how we take care of our body. But I think those are all good things, and it kind of brings up what you're saying, Lenny, too, like would Paul, the apostles, disciples, would Jesus have had to say some of the things then that maybe needed to be said now? Like, you know, bodily exercise profits a little bit. Well, they walked everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole, they were rural people mostly. There's just this sense that there was a lot of exercise of your body anyway.
Yeah.
Right? And you probably... Well, I know you weren't eating Twinkies and donuts and drinking pop that's full of corn syrup and,
oh,
you know, right? I'm not going to be legalistic. I said that. So I have a confession to make. Occasionally, I will go get donuts and bring them to the class here. I decided I better have to do that. So sorry. That's probably not being a very good example. But what we should do, Lenny, we need to bring something we grow out of our garden and bring it here.
Yeah.
Have tomatoes and cucumbers for snacks. And
without the ranch dip.
See, I'm not trying to make people feel guilty, or it's all the Holy Spirit. It's
good.
I think, John, that question you asked, do you plan for care of your body to the same degree that you plan for the care of your soul? And going off of what Lenny was saying, like, that works both ways. Because I'm thinking of ladies in the past that I've met with or discipled, like, they do spend more on the care of their body than they do on the care of their soul. And so then that question is good because it can apply to both. So it's looking, you need to care for both. But where is that off balance?
Yeah, I had a little chart. I'm just going to put it up here. I think you have, this isn't very good. So you have sinful neglect over here. And And over here you would have the other side of that, which might end up being, I'll just call it body idolatry. Obsession with the body, and you guys probably can't see this very well. Gonna end up in anorexia. I'm not gonna get this spelled right. Anorexia. Bulimia, other stuff. So right here is where we're shooting for. Now if that helps Lindsay or not. Now that's what I would. So if you have somebody that's over here, you don't want to push them clear over to this side. Well, I don't care. And if somebody that's over here that's not caring for the body, you don't want to push them to where it becomes their obsession and their an idolatrous thing to them.
John, I think there's, and I think this is in all areas of life, but we have this either or, where it's just, well, the body is not really significant, or the soul. Somebody who's on the other side, on the obsessive side, the soul is not really significant. It's all about the body, the body, body. So I think back to what Lenny was saying is, those things are spiritually significant. And they do have, we've talked before, there's a quote of the doctor, counseling, who says, like, the body and the soul are so closely knit together that they share each other's diseases. Mm-hmm. It's like when we're physically in pain, it affects us spiritually. And spiritually, when we're racked with guilt, or all that affects our body. So that it's all, like, I think we need to try to stop thinking of them as just completely separate. But they're together. So that kind of duality that, yes, we are body and soul, and they're together, and both were created by God.
Yeah, we're not Gnostic in nature, where, you know, the soul's good and the body's bad, and soul's trapped in this, need to get out of here as soon as we can. That shouldn't be our thinking as well.
I think, too, there's the, like, physical aspect of, like, what you're doing, either neglectful or not, but also what you're thinking. And like the social media and the body obsessed culture that we live in can get you to where your idolatry is thinking about it all the time, mm-hmm. and neglecting thoughts of Christ. And mm-hmm. so it, you know, the soul and body combination is so important to think about. Am I obsessing and thinking about this? Whether my actions reflect one or the other is important. And where you can slip into idolatry, even if your actions show something different.
So that's where I want us to, what I want us to think about is, like, what is your motivation for good care of your body? Is it so other people look at you and say, wow, look at that body? Is it because you want to use your body to glorify God? And there's secondary motivations under that are good motivations. So I'm going to exercise for half an hour. And I'm going to enjoy it. That's a good thing, as long as your primary and even your top secondary motivations are, I'm going to use this for fruitful ministry, for the glory of God. All of my body, all of my instruments are presented to Him and consecrated to Him. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. My arms, my feet, everything. So does that motivate you, or... So that's a relationship between the inner man and the outer man. Or am I motivated by some idolatry of my body? I want people to think of me well, I look good. And there's no body that's going to look good forever. So that's kind of a losing battle at some point. But your motivation is to glorify God is eternal. And will go on forever. And we'll have an eternal reward. So any other thoughts on any of the questions? Glad you brought that up, Lindsay. So you say that more have focused on that more.
And I didn't know if maybe some of that's some of the difference between men and women. I mean, just, yeah, I don't know.
I think, too, there's just this underlying fear. I mean, on this end, this right side, this fear of death. And you know what I'm saying? Like, that we can fight death
mm-hmm.
by taking care of our
Yeah.
body. So there has to be an attenuation of that too. Like, you're not fighting death, you're just trying to live fruitfully here.
That's the motive, yeah.
Right.
And I can't wait till we get to that, because there's some really good stuff about that in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right too to bring up that the church doesn't talk a lot about what is, well, all we get is what the world says about our body. So if you're not in scripture and you don't know what the Lord says about it, then all you're fed is with what social media and the world says. So it's to our detriment to some degree.
Yeah, it really is. And we will end up conforming to their pattern, mm-hmm. be pressed into their form if we don't use scripture to think rightly about it. I do think that it's possible, Lindsay, that it is a little bit more of the female side than the male, as far as focus on the body, possibly. Just looking through articles that are out there, more were written by women to women than I could find guys to guys. And although some of you would remember the name Greg Gifford, he taught, and I, there's only two sessions in IBCD on the body, which I found really shocking.
Wow.
So there's not a lot out there, but Greg Gifford was a bodybuilder in high school and into college and competed. So he really is coming from a first person, about a man who, you know, ate 6 to 7 times a day and spent hours. Anyway, his topic was not having idolatrous view of the body. So it's a guy thing as well, or it can be, obviously. But I do think, and I might end up running off a copy or sending a link out. There was a really good, I found one about, I think it was 9 reasons. I might have it here. Let me get the topic right. One you could go to if I can find it. Nine Reminders for the Struggle with Body Image by Andrea Lee. And that was in the Biblical Counseling Coalition. It's very good.
Nine Reminders.
Nine Reminders for the Struggle with Body Image by Andrea Lee. On the Biblical Counseling Coalition in July of this year. So it would be a good resource for you guys on that subject. Okay, any other thoughts on any of the questions that have been asked? Let's go to the next section. Let's do a survey of scriptures that speak to the body. We'll look at the indicatives, the imperatives, and through observation lay out responsible and God-glorifying stewardship of the body. Some of this may just be review for people who are taught pretty well, probably for the most part, but I found it really clarifying and really focusing. Number one, the Bible teaches a theology of the body that involves creation, fall, and redemption. That's really, we think of that oftentimes in terms of the soul, the inner man, but the body is right there with it as well. It's pretty remarkable. So instead of printing out all these scriptures, we're gonna go to some of them at least. I'm not sure we'll go to all of them. Let's turn to Genesis. And let's look at some scriptures that really clarify the creation of our body and its origin, how it came about. So Genesis 1:26, if you're there, let's go to the book of origins, Genesis. Ken Ham always says that the first 11 chapters of Genesis lay the groundwork for the rest of the Bible. And it's really a true statement. So Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. This is the Trinity agreeing to make man in our image. And then he makes them, they make them us, male and female. And chapter 2 gives a more detailed description of that creation. Genesis 2:7, if you want to turn there. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So again, very simple, but he took dust of the ground, he formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him spirit, and he became a living being. Genesis 2:18, not good that man would be alone. I want to make him a helper. So he makes the female helper to the male. And by the way, in Genesis 1:31, after he had did the creation, he says, everything he had made was very good. What was everything that he had made? What does that include?
Body.
Our body. Everything. Body is good. Everything is good. This verse was mentioned earlier. I'll quote it, Psalm 139:13. Well, basically it says, you form my inward parts, you covered me. Marvelous are your works. This is David talking about how he was formed by God and created in his mother's womb. You created me. You covered me. Marvelous are your works. He's talking about how marvelous this is. So what we've discussed so far, what would you say about our body? What are some implications, some conclusions we should draw from God creating us, our body?
I think of the sovereignty of God. I think he had a plan from the beginning, and he chose his human flesh to put his, that's who his son is. So he has a very high opinion of the human body.
There you go. He has a high opinion, he has a high value. And that, I'm going to say that later here in the notes, but that's a pretty amazing thought. Think about that a little bit. How God views your body. He created it. It's his. He created it. And he said everything's very good. It's good. I'm not sure we always have that high opinion of our body with all of its effects of the fall, which we're going to talk about. I just find that remarkable. God made it. He values it highly. So should we. We should really think about that in a God-centered way. So the creation, I won't spend a whole lot more time here. There's some other verses. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. All things were created through him and for him. So literally, he creates your body. He does it, and it's for him. And then you could go to Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and for him are all things, including the creation of your body and its use. It's from him, it's through him, and it's for him.
I can't help but think, you know, when you read that about the dust of the ground, the complexities that are in the soil. I remember in college studying biology, I was so, overcome by the complexities that are there and understood by man, but yet the depth that's still there that still wasn't understood. And that there was more technology in a cubic inch of soil than it was took to take man to the moon. And just that, and God used, I always say it at the time, and God used that, seeing that, questioning my mind, where is God then? Where did this all come from? And that then points to Romans 1, the things that are clearly seen by the things that he created, even his eternal attributes, so that we are without excuse. It was life-changing for me to, the Spirit, I think, was, I didn't become a Christian right away, but it was something that he used to make me stop and think, where is all this coming from? That God is, but where is he for me?
If you understand the human body, or soil, as you're talking.
It's complex, very complex.
Points to the Creator.
Yes.
Unimaginably, I mean, we can't even in our minds imagine someone with that kind of creativity, that kind of power, kind of knowledge, wisdom, human body, completely complex. Some of you in here are in the medical field. My goodness. It's a wonder we work, right? so many systems, and it's marvelous. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, David said. Any other thoughts on creation? Fall of man. So we're looking at the theology of the body that involves creation, fall, and redemption. Spiritual and a physical death. You're still in Genesis. Genesis 2:17. In the day, this is God telling Adam, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then in Genesis 3:18-19, after both Adam and Eve have partaken, he tells Adam, you will return to the ground, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. And then Genesis 5:5. Now, if you can turn there, because this is pretty interesting. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, that may seem insignificant, but God's word will not pass away. He returned to the death. He died. You look at verse 6. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. And then Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. All of his days were 912 years. And he died. And you know what? Someday our name will be in our genealogy, right? And so this is the fall. There's spiritual death. There's physical death. Replete through Scripture. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed once for man to die. Then comes judgment. So our body, created for eternal existence, this physical body, will die. And those in Christ will have a new resurrected body, fit for eternity. So that's a real quick look at the fall of the body of man. You can look at the spiritual side of it, but the body side of it. So redemption, both of the soul and body. So let's turn to Romans 8, chapter 8. I think there was one chapter of the Bible that would stick out to me, that just I could live on this almost. It's Romans chapter 8. It's got so much in it. But all of Romans does, and all the Scripture does. So Romans 8. Let's look at verse 20. The creation was subjected to futility. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's interesting. All of creation will be delivered from the curse and from corruption, not just our mortal body. Everything will be new. verse 22, we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. I think about that when some of you here in the livestock business, like you have a diseased animal and they're dying and they're dying. It's like the whole creation is groaning. This isn't the way it should be. Not only that, verse 23, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So we're part of the whole creation, our body, groaning, waiting for the redemption of our body. Key verse on that. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We may not cover all these, but this gives you some other verses you can go look up later if you want to fill in. 1 Corinthians 15, a marvelous chapter on the resurrection. Verse 50, now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we shall not all remain dead in the grave. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible. So how will our new body be raised? It's going to be incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will have a new body, incorruptible. This flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This will happen at the resurrection. So there's a promised redemption of our body. There is a sound theology on its creation, its fall, and its redemption. There's a couple others here, and I might just finish with a couple of verses, and then we'll complete this section and be done. But turn to Philippians 3, I think it's 3:20 and 21. I think it's a really good redemption verse. Miles, do you have that?
Yeah.
You want to read that for us? 3:20 and 21.
But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself.
So, our lowly body is going to be transformed. It'll be conformed to his glorious body. Think about that for a minute. It's going to be transformed into the likeness of his glorious body, according to the working which he's able to subdue everything to himself. He's able to do that. He's able to do that. There's not a chance in the world I could make that happen. It's all by his grace and gifts to those who believe in him and follow and trust in him. I think we'll go to, let's go to Revelation 21. So in a season of some own personal health issues, I thought, you know what, I'm going to read more about eternity and where we're going to be. And so Revelation 20, 20, 21, and 22 are really good chapters to help you with that. And even for those who seem to be in great health and nothing's happening right now. These are still good verses to go to for anticipation of where we're going to be. So let's go to Revelation 21. Verse 4, we can look at, this is talking about the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. But in verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There shall be no more death. No more death. Body will not die anymore. There's no sorrow, no crying, no pain. There will be no pain in the new body. Former things have passed away. And you flip over to chapter 22. Verse 3, this is underlined in my Bible and highlighted. And there shall be no more curse. Wow, think of the implications of that. No more curse. A new heaven, a new earth, new city, Jerusalem, God dwelling with us. No more death. Chapter 21, no more curse. Chapter 22.
I think it's important, too, that he doesn't make new things. He makes all things new.
Yeah. It's good.
So the body was good. He's going to make it.
Yeah.
He's not getting rid of it and doing something else.
You're going to have a body in heaven. Mm-hmm. And on the new earth. And Lenny, we might be gardening. I'm thinking we probably will be, actually. What's that? It's not going to be work. There won't be any weeds.
See, her heaven is gardening. I have but never no been to heaven if I don't have
not necessarily.
No, thank you.
When it talks about the tree of life, and understand that's more of a forest.
Okay.
It's going to yield its fruits, you know, new fruit every month. So there's, I don't know. So in conclusion, number one here, all creation, fall, and redemption. In creating man in his image, he gave man a body and soul existence, thereby conferring worth, dignity, and permanence to our body's existence. As a result of the fall, physical abnormalities, degenerative diseases, illnesses, and death itself afflict human existence and will remain until Christ returns and brings redemption of the body. That means there's no perfect health or perfect bodies until the resurrection. My doctor and I go see him, he says, well, we just push back what's inevitable, right, Heather? Like,
just
eventually.
Kicking the can down the road.
Yeah. So, but the hope is new body, made new, all things new. That's the gospel there in many ways. Okay, we'll pick up with number 2 next week.